Red Line.
Welcome to Radio Sputnik and its weekend program, The Red Line, with me, Andrew Kripko.
That's a great slogan.
Welcome to today's program, and this is what we want to highlight as the news-breaking stories of the week that proved to be extremely tense, dramatic, and controversial. Iran, from pariah state to awakened giant. The Islamic Republic of Iran is making a comeback to the world stage after international sanctions against Tehran were lifted following the end of the decade-long controversy over its nuclear program. Cutting corners to Syria. Days before the Geneva talks on Syria, the Emir of Qatar, Sheikh Tamim bin Hamad Thani, paid a visit to Moscow, reaching a full understanding with President Putin that there is no way to delay a solution to the conflict. Shortly after that, Secretary of State Kerry and Russia's Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov discussed Syria in Zurich. And also, Donald Trump, from barring to barking. Republican frontrunner Donald Trump has found himself in the midst of fresh scandals both at home and thousands of miles away from the U.S. shores in Britain. So let us come to our first section, Beyond the Headlines, to speak about Iran's escape from international isolation. The Islamic Republic of Iran is making a comeback to the world stage after international sanctions against Tehran were lifted following the end of the decade-long controversy over its nuclear program. The country rejoiced in glee with the announcement, and everyone from the Ayatollah to the commoner in the street were filled with high hopes for the country's future. Iran's return to the global economy will also have an energy component as well, since Tehran plans to boost its oil output by 1 million barrels in the coming year. Everything wasn't all fun and games, however, since the U.S. almost immediately announced that it was rolling out a new round of unilateral sanctions in response to missile tests from last year.
I think this is really extraordinary week, Andrew, because all of us woke up to the news that really Iran is no more a raw state as it used to be. Lifting sanctions from Iran obviously would lead to fundamental changes in regional and international politics. We have yet to see what sort of changes it will bring. But I think that, in fact, I would love to say that this really puts a full stop in this crisis. But unfortunately, it seems that the things are not that easy. Still, there's a lot of tension, there's a lot of prejudice over Iran. And while some are applauding that move, including Russia, of course, others are trying still to demonize Iran. They're speaking in terms of that the devil was uncaged, and they just try to frighten the world community over awakening Iran, as you said. Look, the whole week I spent talking to representatives of some Arab countries, and you know what is their reaction? Shock. They're devastated. They say,
well, they knew it was coming.
What happened? What happened? Iran. Now you will see what a terrible thing is Iran. I said, come on, Iran is a responsible power. Iran is Russia's partner. They said, oh, you don't trust Iranians. They're very tricky. Like that, you see.
I'm sure some of those leaders are from the Gulf states.
A lot of prejudice. A lot of prejudice. A lot of superstition. And already now we've seen that, of course, we will discuss the Syrian settlement. But on one hand, it seems that, obviously, Iran, as an important, responsible power, entering Syrian dialogue, can facilitate finding the solution. But how many brakes are put on Syrian negotiations, Syrian political process, which has yet to be put on track? Why? Again, fears against Iran.
Yeah, there is no way to resolve the war on Syria without the positive involvement of Iran. Well, why don't we discuss what's happening right now in the post-sanctions environment with our institute guest, that's Mr. Viktor Mizin. He's Deputy Director of the Institute of Strategic Assessment here in Moscow. Hello, Mr. Mizin. How are you?
Good morning. Pleasure to be with you.
Yeah, thank you for coming again. So I want to ask you a question about the lifting of sanctions. $150 billion worth of assets are going to be released back to Iran. And some people are saying this can be a major game changer, not only in supporting legitimate Syrian authorities, but possibly even with, you know, supporting Houthis and other groups that are throughout the Mideast. What's your take on how monumental the release of $150 billion will be in the current geopolitical environment?
Well, monitoring a so-called Iranian issue for many, many years, for me it was always funny, I mean, the attempt somehow to circumvent, to disparage or isolate Iran, which is, of course, naturally one of the leading powers in the region. But I think that the general attitude, I mean, I could say of the world community, if anyone understands what it is, and specifically in the West, is quite divided, what Sergei just has said. On the one hand, it's, of course, the factor that it has been demonized by United States, which have been deeply humiliated by this siege of hostages in 1979. And so Iran was made one of the pillars of this notorious act of
Mr.
evil.
But that's, yeah, that's an old story. That's always.
No. So, it's very important because
it did have a psychological
because
impact
now,
on American psyche.
Now it's the basic line of all conservative forces, especially Republicans, saying that it's the devil, it's a terrible regime which kills its own people.
Not only Republicans, many
conservatives, as I said, which kills its own people. It's a terrible dictatorship of mullahs, and it's not
all those cliches and stereotypes of anti-Iranian propaganda.
One thing. The other side is that it's a great market, that it's emerging power, which would be in competition with such leaders, which with many Gulf countries, especially Saudi Arabia,
absolutely,
which is eternal adversary of Iran, and it's monitoring with a lot of anxiety what's going on. It's a great market, and already many Western companies, including U.S. companies, are rushing to Tehran to be the first in this market. And, of course, Russia is interested in good relations, and it has great relationship with Iran in all spheres, including commercial and even military technical cooperation, because it's neighboring country, and I think the major factor. And another story is how detrimental to the Russian interests, because unfortunately Russian economy, as we see now, is unfortunately still linked to the oil prices. What would be the result of Iran as a major exporter entering the market now? Because many, I mean, the predictions are that it could be another oil slump going back to $15 or probably $10 per barrel. So it's a major factor in the global economy and in the world politics, Iran entering the world scene.
We're going to turn to the lines right now. We have Ms. Lana Ravandi-Fadeh to speak to us, and she's senior researcher at the Institute of Oriental Studies of the Russian Academy of Sciences, and she's talking to us from Richmond, Virginia.
Red Line.
All right, Solana, the Islamic Republic of Iran is making a comeback to the world stage after international sanctions against Tehran were lifted. Can we really say that the major security crisis is over and Iran will reemerge as the awakened giant in the Middle East?
I really doubt that the security crisis will magically end soon. It is not as if all security problems in the Middle East stem from Iran or are in Iran's power to solve. Moreover, Iran's re-emergence on the stage may induce other players to create new problems. Those who stand to lose power and influence in the political dynamic in the Middle East undergoes a radical change. But if the sanctions are indeed fully lifted and remain so ever under the U.S. president, then Iran may become the main player in the Middle East. Whether then is equivalent to an awakened giant, I don't know. Iran has not been sleeping. Maybe an unchained giant.
Okay, well, you know, about Iran's return to the global economy, this will also have a profound energy component as well, since Tehran plans to boost its oil output by about 1 million barrels in the coming years. So how do you assess this impact?
Iran has the power to drive the price of oil into the ground, no doubt. But how would that be advantageous to Iran? Iran and Russia are clearly working together more and more now. And there is no need to talk about what oil prices are doing to the Russian economy. Do Iran and Russia have a plan to use their natural resources to deal with the economic situation? In all these meetings, it must have been discussed. Other major players are also in a tricky situation economically. Saudi Arabia has a budget deficit for the first time anybody can remember, $87 billion. They have been pouring $200 million a day into their Yemen campaign against the Houthis. And what about the United States? I'm currently in the United States, and the economy here, despite claims by Obama, is sending some mixed signals. The stock market is down. I have been reading about store closings here almost daily. Sure, oil is cheap, but there are serious questions. So you have to wonder what the larger plan is on all sides. Most of these players need a higher oil price. Certainly, Iran and Russia desperately do, even though they should be reforming their economies. The question is, do they have a plan, or will they simply sell and hope for the best?
Yeah, all of that makes sense. And Lana, I want to thank you very much, and thank you for coming on the show. And right now, we have the honor to speak to Ms. Helga Zepp LaRouche. She's founder of the LaRouche Movement's Schiller Institute and the German Civil Rights Movement Solidarity Party.
Red Line.
All right, so, you know, Iran's back on track to reintegrate into the global economy. So I'd like to ask you what kind of opportunities it can bring in terms of the bigger picture. I mean, what countries do you see investing there, and what do you think they hope to gain?
Now, if Europe and the United States would stop the casino economy and cooperate with the Silk Road, then there will be a great interest in Iran, which you could see already that the moment the P5+1 agreement was signed, you had many delegations from European countries going to Iran, Germany, French, Italian, showing big interest. But it only will function if you get rid of the casino economy, because if you don't, that is going to completely bring down the whole thing.
Yeah, you're definitely right about that. I'd like to kind of take it a step further with the casino economy you mentioned and talk about Iran's reintroduction to the global energy market, because it says it wants to boost its oil production by up to 1 million barrels per year. So how do you think this will impact on already low prices? Because they already dropped just on the news of this.
Yes, there are some banks who have predicted that the oil price may go down to even $10 a barrel. And what you are seeing right now in the oil sector is a new version of what was the subprime mortgage crisis of 2007. Because especially in the United States, for example, a lot of firms in the shale, oil, and gas sector have invested in contracts which were based on an oil price of, you know, $70, $80, $90. And now the banks, the Federal Reserve apparently has told the banks that they should keep the titles on the books at an oil price of 49 to 59, covering up the massive losses, telling the firms to liquidate instead to pay down the debt. So what you have right now is a cover up by the banks of the real losses of these firms, which are going bankrupt in waves, in massive waves. So it's a cover up and a swindle. If you look at Venezuela, they have called for an emergency summit of OPEC, which OPEC has refused, because what is going on right now is that every country and every firm is pumping to take whatever little income can be gotten, even if it is at a loss. So, you know, Iran really is coming into this market at a very unfortunate moment. And I think their intention to lessen the dependency of oil export and go to nuclear fission and nuclear fusion and use the oil as a raw material for petrochemical purposes is much more wise. But it is a difficult moment for sure.
Okay, thank you. You know, the last thing I want to ask you about is something a little bit more positive, and that's if you can comment on President Xi Jinping's visit to Iran, because it's not only to help resolve the tensions between Tehran and Riyadh right now, but also to support the One Belt, One Road project. So can you tell us a little bit about China's interest in Iran and how this fits into its global strategy of win-win cooperation and new Silk Roads?
I think the initiative of the One Road, One Belt, New Silk Road and Maritime Silk Road initiative of China, in my view, is presently the only constructive alternative model of a win-win cooperation among the states of the world. It's the only peace initiative. As you could see by the successful visits of Xi Jinping in Saudi Arabia, and Egypt and now coming to Iran, it is the best chance to overcome the Shia-Sunni war, which has been pushed by imperial interests. And he made already important agreements with Saudi Arabia and Egypt, and he is stressing beautifully the ancient tradition connecting the Persian culture and the Chinese culture. And the only way you can stop terrorism in the region is that all major powers must work together, the United States, Russia, and China, and all countries of Southwest Asia. Then you have to extend the new Silk Road to the entire region as a peace plan, from the Caucasus to the Persian Gulf, from Afghanistan to the Mediterranean, taking this as one region, build infrastructure, declare war on the desert, create new water with nuclear energy. You can have large amounts of ocean water desalinated. You can ionize the moisture in the atmosphere, then build up agriculture, infrastructure, industry, build new cities, give new hope to the people to have a future. And that is exactly what Xi Jinping is bringing to the region. So I think in this ocean of calamities of the world, what Xi Jinping is doing is really, you know, the biggest hope in this situation.
Okay, thank you so much, Mrs. Uplaroche. That was an honor to speak to you, and we learned a lot. Thank you. Okay, and right now we're wrapping up our first section, focusing on Iran. So I'd like to thank all of our guests for participating, beginning with our in-studio guest, Mr. Victor Mizin. He's Deputy Director at the Institute of Strategic Assessment. Ms. Lana Ravandi-Fadeh, she's Senior Researcher at the Institute of Oriental Studies of the Russian Academy of Sciences, talking to us from Richmond, Virginia. And last but not least, Mrs. Helga Zlap-LaRouche, founder of the LaRouche Movement Schiller Institute and the German Civil Rights Movement Solidarity Party. Following in our program, we have Qatari Emir in the Kremlin cutting corners to Syria and Donald Trump from barring to barking. Stay with us.